Hello, and welcome to this 40-minute late start from the podcast. I was aware that Kano wasn't going to be on time because of his work. But folks, I apologize. About 30 minutes before the podcast, I must have fallen asleep. So I should have no excuses because I should be well rested now. Except I haven't a clue what I'm doing. So let me pull up the podcast notes if I can find them. Let's see, how to drill for your own water, psychological, Amazon, no. Stockton Weather, no. George Gordon, no. What in the world? Parts kit. Some page that didn't load. Wow. I got a problem. I'm missing the page that I meant to have open. Well, whatever happened? No, that's not the one I want. I'm still looking, folks. I have to open it from scratch, which is probably what I'm going to have to do. And that's interesting. It should have been a page that I had up constantly, and it's gone. Huh. Well, we'll go with this one. And, wow. No, not good enough. Well, apparently I have it open. There it is. That was weird. Okay, I'm just waiting for the page to load up, and then I can read the disclaimer. And I'm sorry for the slow start. Okay. Dated 2018, January 7th. Demented Dungeons & Dragons disclaimer. Legal notice. This podcast may be very controversial. Actually, it is. Yeah, especially the pronunciation of that word. This podcast is our personal opinions, our views, and our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our firsthand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you to not feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right. What is right because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, and your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties of your neighbors, your community, and your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA or approved. Under the New World Order, rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is the result of a nutritionally deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and or other animals. We are not man animals. As described in FDA state and federal regulations under the U.S. Code, Title 15, Chapter 2, Chapter 1, Subsection 55, B, and U.S. Code 21, Title 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321F, and so forth. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast is not necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us. Okay, I got to check my fire smell. Smells like the smoke is escaping the door. Nope. What has escaped is a few cinders, and they fell down and burnt some stuff that was on the ground. Yes, folks, I'm living in a greenhouse this winter. I hope to do it next winter. But next winter, I hope to do it on my own land. Or, you know, the land that Kano's paying for and I'm supposed to be working. It was a dreary, drizzly day. But if I was on the land, I still would have been able to get something done. Whereas out here, when I wanted to escape to be warm, if I was on the land, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So, yeah, that's something to be worked out. Contact information. All right. If you want to contact us, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Right on the top of the page, it says dial 515-604-9926. And there'll be an access code required. That would be 128-374. Okay? It's usually a robotic female voice that asks you for it, so be prepared to give it. I recommend you press pound after you get done doing that, but Kano never includes that instruction. That's fine. I guess it seems to work without it. Okay, but again, that phone number is 515-604-9926, followed by the access code 128-374. Now, if you feel like tinkering around for a long time, you could probably enter other access codes and find other podcasts out there. Who knows? Might get lucky. It's only like about 100,000. No, about a million different combinations you could enter. So Yeah, that could be a fairly unique number there. So one in a million. All righty. Anyway, so yeah, if you went to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, you'll find that information right at the top of the page, and you'll be able to download our latest podcast. So if you're not listening to this live, you've already figured that out. But to you who might be listening live, which I don't think there are any because it would have heard a bing, you're just finding that out. Okay. Well, I had an interesting discussion with somebody not too long ago who wants to know why I'm looking for a wife who is young enough to bear children. She's saying, you don't want to bear children when you're so young. You don't want your 20-year-old to have to take care of you when you get old. Like, well, who do I want to take care of me when I get old? Nobody? Yeah, actually be a good option if I could pull it off. In the end, though, frailty will eventually get me just like it gets everybody else. Though, I would argue I've got another 70 years or so left to go. So I'm hoping I spend the majority of that as not frail. Okay? You know. So basically what I think that person is thinking is that I should either mooch off of other people for the rest of my life, you know, once I get up there in age, or, well, it's the same answer actually, but people don't realize it is, depend on Social Security, the state, to take care of me once I'm too frail to take care of me and others. All right? Well, it's my understanding that Christ was explaining to the early Christians, to his disciples even, that the Corban of Herod was the wrong kind of Corban. That it rendered God's word of none effect. Well, you know, how do you render God's word of none effect? You do it by breaking his laws and instituting policies and rules and regulations and systems, mostly by implementing systems that circumvent his instructions. You know, so one of those things are you're supposed to take care of your parents, and, you know, especially in their old age. There's a scripture, honor your mother and father. Some would translate that word, instead of translating it honor, they would translate it fatten your mother and father. That is, keep them healthy in their old age. Take care of them. You know, and some people go, well, I can't afford to have my elderly mom and my great grandmother and my grandmother housed in my house. That's what retirement homes are for. That's what Social Security is for. That's what welfare is for, is to take care of people when they can't take care of themselves anymore. So why should I do it? All right, well, you're right. That's why those systems were implemented. And in this modern age, it would be almost impossible for most people to take care of their family members on their own. But mostly that's because you've bought in to the rat race. You've bought into the suggestion that, hey, we're the government. We're here to help. You know? They're not here to help. They're here to make a profit. They are here to help, but they're here to help people who have chosen not to take care of themselves. They're here to take care of a people who have grown lax and lazy concerning those things that they're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to go out and take care of the downtrodden and the lowly in society and the orphans and the widows. You know, people who have no family support them, you're supposed to reach out and take care of them. But you're supposed to be taking care of your family already. All right? You know, but nowadays, you got, if you're married and you have children, you and your spouse are out there working 8 hours, doing overtime, sometimes picking up a second job. Spouses are picking up a second job. In their time, the kids are doing their own. How are you going to add in her dad? You know, how are you going to bring them into the household? Well, they're kind of part of your solution. Because if you bring them into the household, then you have additional adult supervision for your children. So you don't have to hire daycare. And you don't have to send them to the institutes of public indoctrination. Who is it? Rush Limbaugh turns it cruel, where your children aren't taught there, or at least they're not taught true history. They're taught what the state wants them to know. There's civics classes, if they even call them that anymore. Tell them that all that's good and wonderful them via for government, they wouldn't be alive. Like, well, that's sort of true. We do need government, but we need self-government. We need to govern ourselves. We need to take care to make sure that we do what is right, because it's right. That we're not out there to rape, pillage, and plunder our neighbors. You know, that we basically seek out to expand our family. But, yeah, she asked me if I didn't want my children, why would I want my children for me in my old age when they're still young? And they should take care of me in my old age. So they should take care of their mother, they should take care of their father in their old age. But I should morals wait for them to do that. I should do my best to prepare for myself in my old age as best I can, and do it without stealing from my neighbor, without forcing my neighbor to do it, without mooching on them. I'm sorry, folks, but Social Security is a mooching system. There is no Social Security fund. It's not a trust, as they try to sell it to you. What it is it's an empty fund that they get from those who are currently working to take care of those who are currently dependent on it. And yes, I've got lots of friends who are dependent on that Social Security. And it ain't much. Quite frankly, I think you're very foolish to use it as your retirement investment fund. You shouldn't have to depend on it at all. But, I got a friend who's very wise, and I just called him a fool because he's on Social Security. But at least he recognizes that it would be better if it wasn't. He just doesn't have that option at this time. So, matter of fact, he's out there driving, delivering buses and trucks and stuff like that when he had planned to be completely retired by this time. And he just can't do it. Can't make ends meet. So he's got to go out and he's got to keep working, even though he's in his old age. Right? Personally, if I was him, I can't speak because I'm not him. But if I was in his circumstance, I'd be seeking out something that I could do even in my old age. Even if I successfully retired, there's always something that can be done. Always something that can be done. So, well, let's see now. Kano sent me some link. And I gotta see if I can find it now. Okay, of course the page closed on me when I wasn't looking at. That's the one thing I don't like about Androids. Apparently they don't have enough memory to hold everything in. Oh! Yeah! Why we pick difficult partners. Yeah, that should be interesting. Posted by the School of Life. This is on YouTube. Okay. It was published this year. Okay, I'm reading the blurb on it. It was published January 30th, 2018. In theory, we're nowadays allowed to get together with pretty much anyone we like. And yet, at a psychological level, we aren't free to love just any suitable person. We have a type. And strangely and awkwardly, these types are often not those who stand a chance of making us maximally happy. For gifts and more from the School of Life, visit our online shop, and then it gives this shortened link. Okay. Further reading. And it repeats it. You can read more on this subject in our blog, and it gives another one of the shortened links. I guess I will follow it. Ah. Didn't do it right. It closed the YouTube account thing and opened it up. Chapter 3, Relationships, Maturity. Why we're compelled to love difficult people. Theoretically, we are free to select the kind of person we love. We might have chosen someone else. We're not being forced into this by social convention or matchmaking ants or dynastic imperatives. But in reality, our choices probably a lot less free than we imagine. Some very real constraints around whom we can love and feel properly attracted to come from a place we might not think to look, our childhoods. Our sociological history strongly predisposes us to fall for only certain types of people. We love along grooves formed in childhood. We look for people who, in many ways, recreate the feelings of love we knew when we were small. The problem is that the love we imbibed in childhood was unlikely to have been made up simply of generosity, tenderness, and kindness. Given the way the world is, love is liable to have come entwined with certain painful aspects, a feeling of not being quite good enough, a love for a parent who was fragile or depressed, a sense that one could never be fully vulnerable around a caregiver. This predisposes us to look in adulthood for partners who won't necessarily simply be kind to us, who will, most importantly, feel familiar, which can be a subtly but importantly different thing. We may be constrained to... Hold on, folks. I got to take care of a problem here. I got smoke coming into my space. It's me. There we go. That's better. That's the one. Just a second. I got to throw some water on. Like I said, I'm living in a greenhouse. Now, what I do with all my stuff that I can move on? Oh, it's under here. Got it? That's better. Sorry, folks. Okay, start the paragraph over again. This predisposes us to look in adulthood for partners who won't necessarily simply be kind to us, but who will, most importantly, feel familiar, which can be a subtly but importantly different thing. We may be constrained to look away from prospective candidates because they don't satisfy a yearning for the complexities we associate with love. We may describe someone as not sexy or boring, when the truth we mean unlikely to make me suffer in the way I need to suffer in order to feel that love is real. Ouch. Kano, this is for you. It's for all of us, I'm sure. But being an outside observer of Kano's love life, he tends to pick the ones that hurt him. Ouch. It is common to advise people who are drawn to tricky candidates simply to leave them and find someone more wholesome. This is both theoretically appealing and often practically impossible. We cannot magically redirect the wellsprings of attraction. Rather than aim for a transformation in the types of people we are attracted to, it may be wiser simply to adjust how we respond and behave around the occasionally difficult characters whom our past mandates we will find compelling. All right, personal side note on this. It's been my observation that people pick battles that they haven't figured out yet, and they repeat them over and over and over again in the relationships, you know, with friends, with family, loved ones, strangers on the street, their governments, you know, whatever. They have a problem that's, you know, this includes me. They have a problem that's seated inside their psychology, their spirit, their soul, whatever, you know, whichever is the most appropriate term. But you know, there's this issue, this problem that they want to work out. And they don't necessarily consciously want to work it out, but they want to work out this problem. And so they will repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. And they'll find new partners, new people, new friends to repeat these errors with. And I think it's because deep down we're trying to find the solution. But sometimes the solution is just as simple as the, how's the joke go? Guy goes to see a doctor and he holds his hand up and says, "My arm hurts when I do this." And the doctor says, "Well, don't do that. My soul aches when I do this." Well, stop doing that, and your soul won't ache. Maybe. I don't know. But that's my best guess. You know? Anyway. So back to the article. That was my side note. Our problems are often generated because we continue to respond to compelling people in the way learned to behave as, I think they left a word out. Our problems are often generated because we continue to respond to compelling people in the way learned to behave as children around their template. I think there's a word "they" that should be in there someplace. Anyway, you can go read the article and make the grammatical corrections yourself. Meanwhile, I tripped over that. Okay. For instance, maybe we had a rather irate parent who often raised their voice. We loved them and reacted by feeling that when they were angry, we must be guilty. We got timid and humble. Now, if a partner to whom we are magnetically drawn gets cross
we respond as squashed, brow-beaten children. We sulk. We feel it's our fault. We feel got at and yet deserving of criticism. We build up a lot of resentment. Perhaps we're drawn to someone with a short fuse, which makes us blow up in turn. Or if we had a fragile, vulnerable parent who is easily hurt, we readily end up with a partner who is a bit weak and demands us to care for them. But then we get frustrated by their weakness. We tiptoe around them. We try to encourage and reassure, as we did when we were little. But we also condemn the person for being undeserving. We probably can't change our templates of attraction. But rather than seek to radically re-engineer our instincts, what we can do is try to learn to react to desirable candidates not as we did as children, but in the more mature and constructive manner of a rational adult. There is an enormous opportunity to move ourselves from a childlike to a more adult pattern of response in relationship to the difficulties we are attracted to. And there's a chart. Nice chart. Let's see if I can read the chart. Okay, so there's A, B, and C columns. Column A is partner's tricky behavior. And B is the childlike response to on our part. And C, the more adult response we should aim for. Well, let me see. So your partner is raising their voice. And the childlike response would be, it's all my fault, ... But this article says a better response would be, this is their issue. I don't have to feel bad. Okay? But yeah, they raise their voice. You don't have to react to it. Not as if it's your fault. But you can help them still. But you don't necessarily have to accept fault for the situation. And that might actually encourage them to stop raising their voice. No? Dear, how can I help you? Yeah, I see you're blaming me, but I don't think it'll help you to blame me. So how do we fix this? That kind of thing. Okay, patronizing. Oh, yeah. I think my ex accused me of this one. As a matter of fact, she's always saying that I was making her stupid, and they say that's the childlike response. I'm stupid, all right? And the more appropriate response is there are lots of kinds of intelligence. Mine is fine. And I would agree with that. And, you know, I'm sorry my ex thought I was making her stupid. I was trying to reason with her best I could. And apparently she thought I was patronizing. And actually, I thought she was a pretty smart woman. If she hadn't cheated on me, I was in the process of trying to reconcile her with her as best I could. But, oh well. Okay, another behavior from your partner might be that they're morose. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But a childlike response would be, I have to fix you. Which is probably my suggestion for number one is, you know. But, I don't know. I guess maybe you do need to fix your partner. But only if they want it. Because it doesn't really fix them if you make them behave a certain way. If you make them think a certain way. I put my fingers up and make quote marks around that word think. You know, so they have to want to change, and they have to want the help you're offering. So, you know, to help somebody, you kind of have to figure out what it is they want to accomplish and help them with that. That's it. Now, the more mature to that, instead of the childlike, I have to fix you, is I'll do my best, but I'm not ultimately responsible for your mindset. And this doesn't have to impact on my self-esteem. Yeah. That's very true. That's, you know, overbearing. I deserve this, would be the reaction, the childlike reaction. I'm not intimidated by you. Okay. Well, interesting. Distracted, preoccupied. Ooh, that'd be me. Partner's childlike reaction is attention seeking. Notice me. Well, and the more mature is, you're busy, I'm busy, that's okay. Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty distracted and preoccupied a lot of the time. So I hope, I'm not sure that's the right mature response, but I mean, it's part of the right response. And I guess it kind of falls under that morose one. It's, I'll do my best, but I'm not ultimately responsible for your mindset. So my partner wouldn't be responsible for the fact that I'm distracted and preoccupied. That's my error. That's my whatever. But it would be nice if they stuck their fingers in the pie every once in a while and say, hey, honey, you're neglecting me. Whereas, I guess my ex went for the full-blown attention-seeking. She went and sought somebody else to give her the attention. Ouch. Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, the article continues after that chart. We are almost certainly with somebody with a particularly naughty set of issues which trigger our desires and our childlike defense moves. And naughty, they spell K-N-O-T-T-Y, as in a knot, as in something that's tied up, as opposed to the other naughty, which would be misbehaving. Anyway. The answer isn't to end the relationship, but rather to strive to deal with their compelling challenges with some of the wisdom of which we weren't capable when we first encountered these in a parent or caregiver. it probably isn't in our remit to locate a holy grown-up person. But it is always in our remit to behave in a more grown-up ways around our parents, less mature sides. I'm going to have to look up a word. Remit. R-E-M-I-T. I get a sense of what the word means from the sentence, but quite frankly, I need to look that up. Okay, now let's conduct an experiment. You got the video here on the page. I'm going to see if I can play it. And I'm going to see if you can hear it. Right here on my phone. And well, there we go. Looks like it's loading. Let's hope I have the... Yay. I hope you could hear that. Otherwise, there's about 6 minutes of silence on your end. I like this. I like this. I like what Kano found here. So let's see now. How do I bookmark this? Okay, that's bookmarked. And let's see if I can subscribe. Clicked on School of Light. Hey, there's the subscription button. There, I am now subscribed to the School of Light. Okay. I'm not sure they got everything absolutely right there, but, you know, they're heading in the right direction, which is a lot better than most of them. Looks like they got a lot of really interesting videos here. I have to look in to see who these people really are. History of rituals. History of ideas, ritual, history, consumerism, study with us. Okay. Plato. Yeah, Plato's kind of a dangerous one to just assume he's got everything right. Right, it's dangerous to assume anybody has everything right. So when you find somebody who agrees with you, more than likely they'll help you walk in the same rut that you've been walking in before, and they're probably not any more right than you are. It's probably a good idea to go find yourself an enemy who disagrees with you vehemently, so that you can figure out what it is you might be doing wrong. Because your enemy is more likely to point out your errors than your friends are. Because your friends are probably going to be as blind to your errors as you are. They'll see some of them. But because they're your friends, they're not going to mention them, which is a shame. They probably should. But then they don't want to lose your friendship. So they won't. That's a flaw right there. No. Well, folks, I'm ill-prepared to monologue. It looks like I've done about an hour on my own, which is pretty impressive. Let me see if I can do a trick here. I'm going to see if I can call Ron Paul. I'm not sure I can do it. Okay. No. Forgive me, I'm trying to figure things out. Ah, there we go. Now let's see if I even have Ron Paul listed. Hope I do. I do not. Oh my gosh, how'd that ever happen? That's terrible. I may have written it down somewhere, though. If I did, I'll be good. Nope. Okie dokie. Yep. Wow, I'm going to have to cast Kano for that number yet again. I don't believe I didn't write it down. I don't believe. Wow. Might have to text Kano and say, what's that Ron Paul number? Because if I wrote it down, I wrote it down someplace strange and I don't have it anymore. All these notebooks, you'd think I'd put some useful information on one of in one of them, right? Yeah, and I do occasionally. Just not the piece of useful information I need right now. Could be. It's up on the webpage. But might take me a while to look that up on the web page. Let's see now. This is the yeah. Emin and Hahn makes for exciting podcast, doesn't it? Yeah. So when all else fails, hop on a search engine and type in a strange sequence of words and hope to get a response back that'll be meaningful and useful. Well, yeah, I don't want his home number. Ah, found it. Yay! Okay. For those who don't know, the number is 888. Oops, I lost it. 322-1414. And here goes the grand experiment. I'm using a internet phone to call from the phone I'm talking to you on, and I'm going to hope you can hear it. And I hope I can hear it.
Okay, I hope you can still hear me. Yeah, so I ran through that twice. So, yeah, it takes a long time to hear anything from the government that's classified. And basically, they figured out if they can wait 50 years, 30 years, even as little as 20 years before they let us find out what the hell really happened, we'll all act like, well, that was those dumb, ignorant people from the past. But we're smarter and wiser now, and we know better. And, folks, I got to tell you, this is the same propaganda that Cain used on his city before the flood. No, I wasn't there. No, I can't tell you for sure that that's what happened. But I can make a real strong, educated guess based on what I see happening over and over and over again in history. People choose to be ignorant of what's being done to them now. They accept it. It's normal. They even get mad at people who refuse to take it. You probably have a social security number that you're using. All right. My personal research is the only people who have a social security number is the Social Security Administration itself, and it has millions of them. And they pass them out like candy in the hopes that people will use their number. And most people don't see a problem with using it. They assume that it belongs to them, and they assume they have a right to use it. And I don't know. I mean, I know it's not mine, because if it was mine, I'd have control over it. And if I had control over it, I could change it at will. Try change the Social Security number and see how quickly they'll come after you. So, which gives me some ideas. They do have a number, they have a formula if the Social Security number is valid or not. So I guess that means they're not claiming numbers that are quote-unquote not valid. So I suppose you could use one of those numbers, provided you didn't say it was a Social Security number. Honestly, I don't see why you couldn't use a number that was identical to one of theirs, as long as you didn't say it was a Social Security number. Yeah. Which, yeah. I don't know. Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. And I assume Kano is working late into the night. I hope he forgives me if I quit the podcast at a 1 hour and 14 minute monologue. Now, I think we've had shorter podcasts, but anyway. I hope I was entertaining. I hope to hear lots of comments from you out there. Positive and negative would be very helpful. The negative would probably be more helpful than the positive, but the positive will make me feel good at least. So. Yeah, if you're going to give me a negative response, please be kind. Don't don't torture me too badly. Hopefully, you'll do it with love and concern, and not hatefully. So, anyway, that'll conclude tonight's DD&D podcast. If you wish to participate in next week's podcast, we're supposed to start at 8 p.m. Central Time. And tonight started 8:40. Sorry, folks. But anyway, 8 p.m. Central Time. I guess that'd be 9 p.m. on the East Coast and 6 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. And who knows what it'd be around the world. We do have international numbers you can call in. Again, all you have to do is go to Demented Dungeons and Dragons. You can see the call-in information that's required. You can see our disclaimer. You can download past podcasts and listen to them. And laugh at us or cry with us or maybe learn something. Maybe come up with a reason to call in and teach us something. You know, we don't know all there is to know. I doubt you know there's all to know. So I'm sure we can learn something from each other. Anyway, with that, I'm concluding the podcast. Good night. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Goodbye. Night.